We're having a fantastic worship service this morning. Very grateful for our singers. Very grateful for everyone that's in the back working hard for us. Thank you, brothers. Are there any superheroes in the house? I am proud of you guys. I wasn't able to attend yesterday, but I heard great things. I actually heard the Lone Ranger showed up. Who is that mystery man? One day we're going to figure out who it is. But seriously, I want to thank Joe Washington for all the hard work that he did. I know you're glad it's over. Maybe next year? I hope so. Amen. It is a great work being a superhero for Africa, helping the orphans. I'm very appreciative of that. I also want to welcome Ron and Kathy Frazier. Come on. Boy, those honeymoons go by too fast, don't they? Well, we're glad to have you back. And I heard some young lady named Heather had a birthday. She's right here. Her poor husband's ear has lost hearing. I have never seen someone so excited about their own birthday before. I hope you feel the same at 50. All right, amen. Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I don't have a PowerPoint presentation this morning. We're going basic. We're going old school. I hope we can do old school this morning. I don't think you expected that much more from me anyway. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to worship you this morning. So grateful to be together with our brothers and sisters and with our children to lift you up, to honor you, to praise your holy name. Father, we're so grateful to be able to share in the memory of your Son Jesus and what his blood and his flesh did for us in setting us free. Father, we're grateful that we can hear your word today. And I pray that you will help me to be able to communicate it clearly and effectively. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was trying to figure out how I would present this message to you. Because this verse that we're going to look at today, chapter 3 and verses 16 through 17, you are so familiar with. It's in the word study when we are becoming a Christian and we are looking at the word of God, maybe some of us for the first time. And is this really the word of God? Did he really inspire men with his words so that we could understand him and his desire for us and what he wants for us? Is it true? And you know, you start in the word study and you're grappling through these things, and this is one that has always stood out in my mind, and this is one that I feel really needs to be communicated today, even for those of us who've been disciples for a long time. Because sometimes we get too comfortable with God's word. And we'll get there and what I mean by that, but sometimes we get too comfortable. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." That is our text today. And we're going to break it down. This is not a subject that you're unfamiliar with unless you're visiting. And I hope if you're visiting that this will open your eyes to exactly how inspired God's Word is and how useful it is for your life. You see, all Scripture contains the very essence of God. He breathed it out. He put His very essence into His Word. He inspired men to communicate His Word to us. What a plan. God put His own purposes into His Word. His Word has meaning and relevance today, even today, right here, right now. You see, the Word of God is useful. It is useful for teaching. Let's talk about that for a minute. The Word of God is useful for teaching. What is being taught in His Word? What His will is for our lives? What does God want for us? What does He think about us? What is His plan for us? His Word teaches us how to know Him. His Word teaches us how to have a relationship, how to relate to each other in a fellowship with one another. His Word tells us about Him and what pleases Him. And it tells us what He thinks will hurt us. He tells us what will separate us from Him. His Word tells us the meaning of our lives, of our deaths, and what eternity is like. Let me give you an example of the usefulness of God in His teaching in another scripture. Turn to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For gaining wisdom and instruction. For understanding words of insight. For receiving instruction in prudent behavior. Doing what is right and just and fair. For giving prudence to those who are simple. Knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We see here Solomon, inspired by God, is directly telling us what? It's useful. And then he sets out specific things that his word is useful for. He tells us exactly some things that we can use it for. And the audiences that can use it. First of all, he says, the simple. Okay, who's simple? The simple are those that aren't that intellectual. They aren't that bright. They aren't that smart. Yeah, there's some of us that are that way. He says that you can use the word to learn how to make good decisions. Did you hear that? The Word of God is useful to learn how to make good decisions in your life, even if you're not that smart. There's hope, isn't there? I'm feeling better already about this message. He speaks to the young. He says the Word of God is useful to you. What is it useful for? Learning, knowledge, and discretion. Meaning, specifically how to decide what should be done in particular situations. Oh, do we need young people to know that? Do we not? Don't you want your child to know what decisions to make at the right time? That's what we pray for. It's right here. He speaks to the wise. Hey, you smart guys. You know a lot of stuff. You got a lot of knowledge. He says it's useful for you too. He says you need to add to your learning. You'll never know enough. You need to keep learning. He speaks to the discerning. The people who already make pretty good decisions. You can still learn how to use that and get more guidance in this. There's no one who outgrows the need and usefulness for God's Word. And finally, he addresses the fools. The Hebrew word that's rendered here in English as fool, which today has all kinds of different connotations, actually he's meaning here someone who is purposefully making bad decisions. Someone who is immoral, who has decided, I don't care about God's Word. They've already made that decision, and he has one word, he has a couple of words of judgment. He says, first of all, they're fools, but he says they've rejected wisdom and instruction. That's never good. And that's why in English we call it a fool. Let me ask you a question. If the Word of God is so useful for teaching all these different types of people, all these different types of things, why would you not use it? Why would you not use God's Word? Why would you ignore it? Why would you go anywhere else? Let me tell you about some things that we've been doing in this congregation. Because the Word of God is useful, we need to talk about it. Some of us think that we're so smart, we can rely on our own intellect and experience as our primary resource for making decisions. We think to ourselves, I'm doing okay. I got a good job, making money, I got a good wife, it's going good. I'm getting by. I got things handled. Fill in the blank. I do this, I do that. It's someone who's feeling pretty comfortable, isn't it? Even though deep down you know such an attitude is not good, and you would never say it out loud, you're thinking it. I've been a Christian for a while. I know a few things about God's Word. I have it handled. I've got it figured out. The actual problem is you have no humility and you don't have a learner's heart. You see, you must have urgency and humility to put God's Word into practice in your life. We are in a dangerous situation and having many more mature people who can get too comfortable in their knowledge of God's Word where it is today. Too self-reliant. Because of this thinking, you do not use the Word of God in your day-to-day lives for guidance. You're relying on patterns of decision-making. You don't continually, actively seek and learn. Even when the lessons of God's Word are handed to you, you still might not take it. Instead, you use your own past. You rely on worldly knowledge and worldly experiences. You rely on your education, your opinions formed from cultural values that were not shaped by God's word. You go back to where you started from instead of being humble and teachable from God's word. The reality is that's going backwards. And that's not being a student. And a student is a disciple. A disciple of God's word. Other of us, quite frankly, are in a world of hurt. We've been getting the beat down in life. We're going through some hard times, and we're going every which way. We're grasping at anything that we can hold on to because we are afraid. We are going through hard times, and we don't like that feeling. And we want to get out of it quick. And so instead of going into God's word and taking the time to pull out what we need to understand and how to address this, we just want out of it. We're just trying to escape it. Instead of using it as an opportunity from God's word to learn something about our character. That takes time. And you may have to suffer for a while. Because God may be trying to teach you endurance and perseverance and character through his word. You may not need to just get out of your discomfort so fast. God will decide. Sometimes we need to take a pause and listen and learn. I've also heard a parent say this, that they thought the scriptures were not useful for raising their child. They said they wanted something more simple and practical to use for raising their child. They wanted someone or something to break down child raising for them. I pass no judgment on that because I feel the same way sometimes. I want it easy to be able to train my child. I want it to be easy to figure out. Just give me, wait a minute, some bullet points? You know, the fact is sometimes we are tempted to just go to Facebook. There's a Facebook post that I saw that I am going to do. Well, that might be helpful. But did you go to God's word first? Is there some blog of some mom out in Kansas that you're looking at rather than God's word first? You need the process builds your own conviction. That's why you need to go there. And the process that God has ordained is that we are put in relationships so that we can teach one another. Instead of trying to do this on our own, or that we're trying to pull out from someone else's experience and not do any thinking on our own. Just tell me what to do. We must be teachable. We must be willing to learn. God's word requires obedience. Putting it into practice to be effective. Turn to Hebrews 5, verse 11. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 5, verse 11 is frustrated with disciples. There's no other really way to put it. He's trying to teach them. And he says, we have much to say about this. And he's talking about his subject matter. But it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. We just read a rebuke, did we not? The scripture of God is useful for delivering rebukes. It's useful for teaching. It's useful for rebuking. Here's an example. In verse 11, the writer says it is hard for him to teach God's word to them because the disciples were no longer trying to understand. The NLT version says there is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. That's harsh, isn't it? Sometimes we need a rebuke. Have you ever tried to teach someone and they just don't care to listen? That needs a rebuke. That attitude needs a rebuke. That's an example of when you use the scriptures to rebuke. Are you no longer trying to understand? How many times has someone approached you with a warning, a scripture, a concern about your behavior or your lack of action, whether it is in raising your child or the behavior of your child, your decision making, your marriage, your lack of purity? Has someone tried to deliver you a rebuke? How did you respond? What did you do with it? Have you stopped trying to understand? You see, we need to be taught the word, and we need to learn it. And this scripture in Hebrews says we need to train ourselves by constant use how to distinguish good from evil. Listen to God's word. In Psalms 141, verse 5, let a righteous man strike me. That is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. That is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it, for my prayer will still be against the deeds of evildoers, not against the guy who rebuked me. If you rebuke me, you're trying to save my life. You're trying to spare me from suffering. You're trying to spare my children. You are trying to help me make it to heaven. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 1 in verse 20. Here he is personifying wisdom. You know what that means? He's making wisdom like wisdom is a person, a real person. He says, out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. This is an incredible passage. Wisdom and knowledge for how to live this life are right here in the Word of God. If you do not try to understand, or if you ignore it, the sad day will come when you really need it and it won't be there for you. You have not trained yourself. You're not prepared for the hardship. You're not prepared for the circumstance when it comes because you haven't been using it constantly. You don't understand. You don't have real wisdom. And boom, the house falls. Reread verses 28 through 33. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. And he goes on. You see, the whole concept here is there does come a time when you need to have understanding, you need to have wisdom, and you need to know inside your heart with conviction and in your mind with understanding of God's Word, and you're not ready for what happens to you. And that is a terrible place to be. You must try to understand. This passage now says that the Word of God is useful for correcting. You see, so far we've talked about it's useful for teaching, it's useful for rebuking, it's useful for correcting. What is correction? To correct someone is to tell them they are mistaken. To correct someone is to counteract or rectify something that is wrong. To correct someone is to bring something back to the standard. It's easy to make a mistake, isn't it? We understand what correction is. My eyesight needs correction. I tell you, one of my favorite times is when I go and I get a new prescription and I suddenly realize what I've been missing. It's like, wow, I can see so much better. It's so clear. How was I functioning? Or maybe my lenses have just gotten so nasty from I don't know what. If you've ever had that, it's like when you get them clean, you go, wow, that's much better right there. Or how, you know, I have my car. Sometimes the alignment gets out. And I'm driving down the road and it keeps wanting to go this way. And if I let go of the steering wheel, it just goes off the road. But when I get an alignment, when I get a correction, I can put a finger on it. It's like it's just holding a straight line. I love when it's correct. We need to have the right blood pressure, don't we? The right blood sugar. When it's not correct, it's not good, is it? We want it to be in the correct range. We don't want to be over here or over here. We understand correction. We will correct our blood pressure. We will correct our blood sugar, won't we? Of course we will, because we want to live. We need correction. My life would be in danger without correction. And I don't understand, guys, why it's so easy for me to be mistaken. I get my life out of balance. I get mistaken so easily. I make mistakes all the time. I need correction. I just need it. But there's a problem. I don't like it that much. Do you love correction? Don't make me do that. You're saying I'm doing that? I don't like the way you're telling me this. We get attitudes about being corrected. Why is that? You know, if it's good for us, if it's necessary, why do we dislike it so much? And I realize, and I'm talking about my own life, and maybe it applies to you, there's two things. I'm going one of two ways. I'm being prideful, or I'm being stupid. Sometimes I'm prideful and stupid. So maybe that is the third choice, all the above. Maybe you can relate. We're either prideful or stupid. You know Proverbs 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is? Well, thank you. Yes. If we hate it, we're just stupid. Because we need it. We need it to live. Proverbs 5, verses 11 through 13 says, at the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, how I hated discipline. How my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or turn my ear to my instructors. That's the person it's too late for. Can you hear that? There comes a point again with correction. You wish you had listened. Oh, I wish I had. Oh, this stinks where I'm at right now. How I wish I had heard what was being told to me. Because I remember someone tried to help me with this. Please don't be that person. Heed correction. Nothing good awaits those who spurn correction from the Word of God. We need surgery on our hearts. You know, when you have the word study, we talk about Hebrews, don't we? We talk about Hebrews 4, verses 12 through 13, where it says, for the Word of God is alive, sharp and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. You see, when we bring God's Word into our lives, it uncovers stuff. It lays bare stuff that needs to be exposed. We've got a bad attitude. It uncovers that. Our thinking is wrong. It uncovers that. It gets laid bare and it can be corrected if we bring our heart under the surgery table and allow the cutting to be done, that discomfort that brings healing. And now I can live correctly. That's what God's Word does. We need to expose our hearts to it so we can be healed. Our passage says the Word of God is also useful for training in righteousness. What is training? Say, I'm trying to break it down here. Training is teaching or learning a skill or type of behavior. What is righteousness? Righteousness is conduct that conforms to a standard of right and wrong. It is faithfulness to a high moral standard. So, if you're training in righteousness, put those together. It's useful for learning to be faithful to a high moral standard that comes from God. That's why we need training in righteousness. Righteous behavior does not occur naturally for us. It doesn't. We don't know right and wrong when we're born. We don't even know a standard. And as we grow up, how do we learn it if it isn't for someone teaching us and training us to be righteous? Brothers and sisters, how will you be able to distinguish good doctrine from false doctrine if you do not train yourself? How will that happen? How can you be righteous if you don't know God's Word? How can you be righteous if you miss services all the time and you cut out listening to God's Word to help you? How can you be righteous when you're nonchalant about God's Word? You know, righteousness is something that we really need to think about in our congregation, guys. I am concerned sometimes what I see on Facebook and postings and selfies and links and likes. I'm a lurker, if you know what I'm talking about. I don't post anything. I don't like anything. But a lurker sees what's going on. Do you know what I'm saying? You can see what's going on. And sometimes I am appalled by the activity that I see from my friends on Facebook and their friends on Facebook. How can you be righteous if you knowingly allow your children to behave in an unrighteous way? How can you train your child to be righteous without knowing God's standard and then holding them and yourself to that standard? You have a duty by God to train your children to be righteous. That's in Ephesians 6:4, if you don't already know it. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That is your responsibility. But listen here. Strict training is for everyone. It's not for just some person that wants to be some super Christian, some special elect group that want to set themselves over here while all of us are going to heaven. No, training in righteousness is for everyone. It is not optional. It's not for the special few. There are no special few. It is a requirement for all believers. We should want to be holy because God is holy. I fear some of us do not have a true understanding of faith and grace. See, faith and grace is not a pass card on holiness. You don't turn that in and go, I don't have to be holy. No, it is the gateway to enter holiness. So let's finish this verse. We have the inspired Word of God. And it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. For what? So that we may be thoroughly equipped to be workers. To be workers. You see, we need the usefulness of the Scriptures to be prepared to do the purpose that God created us to live out. To accomplish in this life with the talents and abilities and mind that He has given us to live for Him. Disciples live lives of purpose. We have duties to perform. Responsibilities. There are things that God wants each of us to accomplish. And together, if we're all doing this, it's incredible what we can accomplish. Are you equipped? Are you ready? Are you thoroughly equipped? Are you competent to do the work? You see, that's the issue. I don't know about you, but I like to be competent in what I do. I hate that feeling. I'm a new worker. I'm newly employed. I've been at a job for about 3 months, and I'm at the most uncomfortable part of my employment. And that is, I know a little, I don't know a lot, and I need to do a lot. And it makes you insecure. It makes you afraid. And it makes you go, I hope they don't ask me to do that. I need to do that. I don't want to do that. I'm not ready yet. Don't give me much. I really want to impress you. But are you living that life as a disciple right now? You can become competent. You can become a thoroughly equipped worker, ready to do good works. I urge you to prepare yourself, because if you don't have the wisdom and knowledge, something is going to happen that will knock you down, and you might not be ready. I know we all want to be competent. You see, today we've looked very closely at 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. Let's read it in its entirety. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, in this sermon, you've been given real-life examples of each one of these things. It's important for us to not forget the words of Jesus in John chapter 12, 47 through 50. And I'm going to read that and close. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person. For I did not come to judge the world but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that His command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful. Amen.
Amen. I want to thank Steve for bringing that message about the Word of God. For me, it was a great review of just how the Word is useful, but also powerful. Something I can apply that I can use for my life so I can be ready and thoroughly equipped. We're going to close out with a prayer, but I have an announcement. I'm going to read this announcement real quick here. First of all, a heartfelt thanks to everyone who participated in the Superheroes for Orphan Walk yesterday. We will thank you all for walking. We will collect the funds today after church in the hallway, and it will be collected again next Sunday. You can continue to raise funds this week in person and online using the website instructions provided in the packets that you got. All right? Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, great and awesome God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your brother Steve just delivering the word, Father, understanding that your words are living and active, and it can be used. It's relevant and practical and helps us in our walk with you. It is my prayer this morning, Father, today that we come to understand and realize that the word of God is useful for training, for teaching, for knowledge, for discernment, and gaining wisdom. So all of us will be thoroughly equipped for good works. Father, I pray that we, as we leave, that we're different men and women than when we walked in today. We love you. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.